My guest today is the band Mojave, myspace.com/Mojave. We're going to start by playing a track off a CD they brought in. Any recommendations? Track one? All right. We'll go with that, and we'll come back and do some interview and some live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Then I would be good enough.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. And my guest is the band Mojave. How's it going, guys?
Great.
Pretty good.
Thanks for coming in. And you guys just walked here from Vancouver today?
Yes, we did.
Wow. That's really impressive. So you guys are in the middle of a, what is it, a Southwest tour? A Northwest tour?
Coastal tour, yeah.
A Western tour? And how many places are you hitting, and how long is your tour?
I think we're hitting seven places.
Seven or eight
places.
Up to San Francisco.
We have two shows in one day, but I think a show a day until the second or third. So
tell me real quick, who are you guys and what do you play in the band?
I'm Lisa, I sing and play guitar.
I'm Paul, and I also sing and play guitar.
Now, how did this whole thing develop? Did it start with one person singing and playing guitar and then added another person? Or did you guys come from different bands who played together? And how did it end up just being the two of you? Because listening to the CD, it's a pretty full sound. It's very textured. You wouldn't guess that it's only a two-piece.
Yeah, I mean, we both come from hard rock backgrounds, and we're both in separate hard rock bands. And we were always jamming together anyways, just like acoustic guitar on the beach kind of deal. And then we started writing songs. Started turning out fairly well, I think. And then both of our bands lost their drummers, some kind of spinal tap problems. We've both been through, I don't know, probably half a dozen drummers between us in our hard rock bands.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's no drummer in this band, although we have a hand drum player that plays session for us sometimes in town and on the CD. So.
And is it like a drummer shortage in Canada? Is that the problem? Or
I think so.
Yeah. Lots of guitar players.
Lots of singers.
Yeah. Not that many bass players, though. There's a few, but not many. So.
And how long have you guys been operating as Mojave in this form?
Probably about a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, we've been writing songs for longer than that, but, like, officially we came up with the name and started recording the CD and that kind of thing.
I think in January we started recording the CD, and we did it in two sections, and then we recorded the second half just this August. So I guess a year.
So this is your debut CD?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Let's jump into a live song, and we'll get into the whole process. What are you guys going to play for us first?
I'm actually going to do a song for my other band, Damselfly.
Okay.
And this is called No Mercy.
All right, whenever you're ready. My guest is Mojave. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Let me
just wanted to be with you. When I try to, those lie to, I think I'm better off alone. And me
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Mojave. Dramatic and really powerful. That's a really great start to the show. Tell me about what kind of songs you like to do. Like what sort of themes you like to keep coming back to. Like that seems like a very emotional song, that last one. Do you tend to write in sort of abstract terms, or do you like to write stories of things that you've experienced?
Yeah, there. I like to keep the... I guess the vocals pretty abstract. I don't like to be too specific about what I'm saying. I like sort of having it that way, sort of some privacy, but they're all about, there's all stories, all specific things that have happened.
And what's the genesis of a song for you? Is it start with some lyrics, or do you get a tune in your head and then work out
a little bit of everything. Yeah. Recently, I think I've been finding he'll come up with a riff and then, you know, I'll, you know, be inspired to write some vocals on top of that.
And it's interesting, as the two-piece, I noticed, you know, the guitars had two sort of different personalities. There was, like, one that was, like, the more of the rock influence, and then there was the other one was more of the acoustic, you know, singer-songwriter influence.
Yeah.
Do you guys talk about those sort of things, about the personalities that your instruments take on during a song?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our songs do sound more aggressive than typical, like, singer-songwriter or folk or something like that, just because we come from bands that are pretty heavy. But we kind of don't let ourselves be restricted by, like, a genre. Like, we don't say, okay, well, this needs to fit into this box of folk, or this needs to fit in this box of that kind of thing. We just kind of, whatever the song feels like it needs,
mm-hmm.
is what we kind of do.
And that was part of the reason, I think, that was, you know, we wanted to take on this project. It's because we wanted no restrictions and limitations. We're both in bands where we've had that before, just completely, oh, it doesn't fit our genre, so we can't do it. And we were very specific about this. If it's a good song, we just want to play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is that feeling when you're in a bigger band that it's sort of like you're in the band, but it's not your band.
Majority rules, yeah.
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 So in this way, you both refer to this band as your band. Like, this is my band. This is <Yeah. to> our band. which came for you first? This question to both of you. Was it singing or playing music?
Singing, definitely. Yeah.
I've only just started singing in the last, like, year or so. I've just been playing guitar and never had a mic in front of me,
mm-hmm.
basically. So I started singing in another band, and then I started, when we were doing this, I guess I just figured, yeah, I sing in another band now. I probably sing in this band too a little. So.
And Lisa, how did you start singing?
My mom said I was singing before I was talking, literally. So I can't remember a time not singing.
I guess that probably helped you when you started in a band. When you started singing, you sort of already had that confidence to go on stage and do that.
Confidence, I think, is it's always, you know, up and down depending. Like, I find that with acoustic, it's a lot more naked. You're not sort of, you know, being blasted by Marshall Stacks. Any little mistake, you know, gets a little bit buried. But mm-hmm. I mean, you're just sort of naked, just two acoustic guitars and vocals and. You know, you're there for the whole world to see. And so I think confidence with this was a little bit different than my other band, for sure.
But then you've been able to sort of build on that after
exactly,
a while.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's listen to another track from the CD and we'll come back. I'm interested to learn more about the Canadian music scene, because I'm sure you guys come across many of the same struggles we do here in Los Angeles. What should we play next?
How about Hollow?
Do you know what track that is?
it's on the CD case that you have.
I'm gonna guess three.
Oh yeah, you know this album well. You're probably involved in putting it together intimately. All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Here's some more Mojave for you, and we'll be right back. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with the band Mojave. I love how you guys use the stereo effects. You really get the sense that there's, you know, two people playing off each other instead of just, you know, that cohesive band thing, you know?
We have the engineer to thank for that.
Yeah.
And are you the engineer?
Is that, no.
Or you have a separate, you know, person that you work with to
produce
the album?
Yeah, we have a studio that we recorded our other bands at, so we... Yeah, I decided to record it there, too.
Now, tell me a little bit about the Vancouver music scene. We kind of touched upon it before about how there's a shortage of drummers and a surplus of singer-songwriters. And how does that play out in terms of getting gigs and finding the right venue and drawing a crowd?
Well, I mean, it's probably the same in most cities. Like, the bands that are already popular get the people out to the shows. So, unfortunately, Vancouver is where Nickelback is from. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of bands that unfortunately sound a lot
like that.
Like
huh?
that. Yeah.
So I kind of answer my next question, which is, does that correlate with the quality of the music?
Well, I mean, there's tons of amazing bands. Like, we go see bands at least once a week, and some bands, they draw a crowd. Some bands have their friends there, basically, and mm-hmm. it has no bearing on their talent.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best bands that we've seen, there's been, like, you know, us and maybe one other person. Some amazing, amazing talent, but, you know.
And that can be so frustrating as an audience member. Like, where is everybody? They need to witness this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely difficult. And, I mean, Vancouver's probably 10 times smaller than L.A., so there's not that many clubs to play at. So there's a limited amount of venues, and it's hard, too, because you'll play them all, and then it's like, well, you can play them all again, mm-hmm. and then play them all again kind of things.
And so. Then you have to tour, otherwise you're just playing the same places, yeah. huh?
Yeah, and I mean, that's why we're down here. That's why we go to Seattle sometimes, too, because we found playing in Seattle has actually been pretty good. We've had we've opened for metal bands, and that was one of our best shows, and we were kind of nervous at the beginning, like, oh, I wonder how this metal audience is going to dig our stuff, but that was probably one of the most well-received shows we've done.
Well, and they probably respond to the sort of subtle hard rock influence that you guys are able to bring out in this acoustic yeah. singer-songwriter vibe.
Yeah.
Which is cool. What about promoting? What's like the main way you guys promote here?
Right now, MySpace.
Yeah. Okay, so it is yeah. just like LA then.
Yeah.
Basically, well, you send out your event notification to all your friends kind of thing. We have a mailing list as well that we email before every show kind of thing. And yeah.
Any adventures crossing the border? Any good stories with that?
One of our friends from Seattle was trying to come out to play a show with us, and he got
the beatings.
Yeah, he got turned away. There's possibly rubber gloves involved.
Oh my goodness!
We don't know. We called him. He was supposed to go on at 8, and we called him at 8, and like, hey, where are you? He's like driving home,
so he couldn't get in. Huh?
No, they they found out that he was a musician, and they said, yeah, you're lucky we're not banning you for a couple years, kind of deal.
Because American musicians aren't allowed up there?
It goes both ways, the Iron Fist kind of thing. So
I guess that there's that whole idea of, you know, if you're a musician, then you must have certain, whatever, political beliefs or...
You must be carrying drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stealing all the jobs and stealing all the money because indie musicians make so much money.
Yeah.
our swimming pool full of cash and all of that. Yeah.
We all know indie musicians take the jobs nobody else wants.
Yeah.
So we should give them driver's licenses. All right. When you guys are ready, we'll just do another live song. Sure. What would you like to play?
Cool. We're going to play...
A new one.
Yeah, actually. Decide. We haven't recorded this one yet, so it's brand new. We've only played it at a couple shows, so...
All right. Cool.
Fair warning.
This is Mojave on Is Good on killradio.org.
Be in, be out.
You know you're bound to hypnotize some people in the audience with that song, right? You could tell them to behave like a chicken after that or something. It
would be Maybe we'll try that.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. My guest today is Mojave. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. We talked a little bit before about, you know, how you've played in some venues opening for unusual acts. What kind of venues do you like to play in, like, given your own choice? Do you like the more intimate settings, or do you like
definitely,
the big scenes?
Definitely more intimate. I find that you sort of get the bigger bars, and, you know, people are just loud and drinking, and it's like a total meat market sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the smaller venues that we've played, people are a lot more, you know, receptive. They actually sit. Usually there's only coffee, so they can't mm-hmm. get all too out of control. But it's
And
it's
they're there to hear the music.
And they're there to hear the music. So it's really refreshing. And again, coming from, you know, the hard rock scene, it's a totally different thing, and I really like it.
Do you, like, how far would you like to take this act, Mojave? I mean, like, at a certain point, that do you wonder, you know, if the sort of intimate cafe setting can be kind of limiting in terms of, you know, building a broader audience? At the same time, you don't want to have to change your music so that you can play in some arena rock thing. So what do you guys think about in terms of, like, how far you want to go with Mojave?
I mean, I just want to keep doing something that's fun. Like, we have a lot of fun doing this. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of fun playing shows. Like, we've played some places where we packed a coffee house, and it's just been, like, it's been a wicked show. Whereas we played some places that are a lot bigger, and there's been a few people there, but it's not been as fun. So, I mean, I think as long as we're playing venues that are fun, like, I don't know, it doesn't matter much to me past, like, people enjoying the music. And
I think doing this full-time would be sort of my goal. You know, just to do music 100% of the time, 100% of the day would be my goal. However, that has to, but I understand, you know, like, going, you know, where do you find that fine line between, you know, the audience, you know, and then, you know, the masses, and then just sort of gets lost, you know, that intimate feeling.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, you know, that's really, I mean, the right answer is that you want to be able to do this to the point that it's all you have to do to
exactly.
live. That, you know, if you keep writing songs and keep doing shows, people will come, they'll buy their tickets, and then you can continue yeah. to keep writing songs. And then on the other part of that is, you know, are you enjoying it? I think what happens to a lot of bands is they start trying to figure out what works, what gets the most number of people there, and they forfeit the enjoyment of making music.
And that has happened. And again, you know, that's why we're here, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Where are you guys? You guys are playing in L.A. tomorrow, aren't you?
Yeah, we're playing at the Kibitz Room with Mini Bike.
Awesome.
So it should be a good
yeah.
show.
It's in West Hollywood.
Cool. Yeah, that's at Cantor's, isn't it?
That's
yes,
right.
That's
yeah.
right.
Deli, yeah. Yes, nice Jewish deli, and strangely an indie rock venue as well. So
should be interesting.
Yeah. Cool. Let's listen to another track from the CD. This before we do that, it's called Stories, and people can download it. It's available, or it's
yeah, it's on iTunes. We released it digitally only because plastic kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're trying to. We're both very much into environmentalism and kind of trying to save the planet and that sort of thing. So we figured it would be counterintuitive to release a CD that's got, like, cellophane, and the CDs aren't biodegradable or recyclable. So we decided to do that.
And that's the other good thing, too, keeping it sort of, like, on a more grassroots level. You can do this.
Yeah.
You know, whereas with most bands, not releasing a CD would be, like, death. But, I mean, it's something we're trying. I mean, we can try it, so why not? And, I mean, most people have, you know, they're walking around with their iPods anyway. So, I mean, most
yeah,
people are buying their
iTunes
music
anyway.
That way.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're trying it. We're going to see how it goes. And hopefully people sort of, you know, get what we're doing here. And
It's the first time that I've heard it of a band choosing not to do a CD because of this reason. I mean, there's other reasons,
yeah.
like the production costs and everything like that. But the closest I've heard to that is, you know, we didn't want to waste all this plastic, so we cut down this tree so you could have this cardboard
yeah, exactly.
CD. So that's really fantastic. So right now, if you just go to iTunes and look at Mojave, we should be able to find this out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, cool. What are we going to play?
How about One Will Fall?
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and this is Mojave. Stick around. Thank you. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is the band Mojave, down here from Vancouver for a brief tour. We were just chatting a little bit about producing this album. You said it was a really positive experience for you.
Definitely.
And, you know, you added a lot of different levels to it. Like that last one was more strictly just you guys with the guitar, and then some of the other songs you had a lot of other instruments. Do you like to, every once in a while when you're local, do you play with other artists and fill out the sound a little more?
Yeah, I mean, we play with a hand drum player, and we play with a violinist when we can, so.
And we're looking into getting upright bass when we get back, too.
As like a permanent fixture, or is this someone who plays on a couple of songs? Like, is this going to become a band? More than
it's kind of more a collective, I think, because people like sometimes play with us, sometimes don't, and we're trying to get a different mix of people. So it's kind of like a whoever's around that we played with that makes this stuff sound good and still sound kind of cohesive. Then the more the merrier. Like it's fun to play with new people. It's good to have new blood in the mix. So
now you guys obviously have a really strong compatibility with each other, so it must make the writing process a lot easier because you both understand each other's approach to music.
Yeah.
If you bring in another person, they either have to really get it or you have to constantly be explaining it to them.
Yeah, typically we write the songs and we kind of have the structure there, and then we'll jam with somebody else and see where it kind of, like, we'll get the violin player to come over and we'll jam that out and see where the song goes with a little bit of strings kind of thing, so just makes it more interesting. It kind of makes the writing process pretty cool, I think.
Do you see Mojave as being this separate entity from the two of you? Like, you have your way of making music, you have your way of making music, and together it makes Mojave. But, like, do you ever sort of have to call each other on, like, you know, wait a minute, this doesn't really sound like Mojave. It sounds maybe like you, or it sounds maybe like me, but not what we're trying to do with this act.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, we do, technically, I don't think they're covers, but we play our other band's music, which we've written. So we've argued this, if it is in fact a cover, because the first song that we played, No Mercy, is a song that she wrote in her other band, but we play it. But she wrote it, so, and she's still playing it.
What's your thought on that?
Is that other band still around, or is that other band has been dissolved?
That's debatable at this point. But
like, do you ever play with that other band?
Not currently. We're still without drummer.
I think as long as you're not also playing with that other band, it's not a cover.
Okay.
But I also think it's open for debate.
Yeah, so we both bring in a few songs of our other bands just because they sound good, totally different on acoustic guitars.
But yeah, we definitely have our own writing style as well. And I think in the writing process, that sort of gets amalgamated somehow.
Mm-hmm.
His riffs are very unique. Like, he does his own thing. And I think when I write, I'm a rhythm player, so I'm pretty bare bones. Like, you know, I'm meat and potatoes. Well, I'm vegetarian, so.
Well, we're both vegetarian.
Tofurkey and
tofurkey. And I love tofurkey.
Potatoes.
We actually picked some tofurkey up for the road. We picked up some tofurkey slices because it's hard to find.
Being vegan, it's really hard to travel.
Yeah,
I bet it must be.
So we just ate at a really good vegan place that we just found after we went to get some guitar strings on a Sunset. We were just driving by and we saw some vegan place. We're like, we have to stop there and eat because we don't know when we'll eat again.
Do you guys feel permanently planted in Vancouver, or do you see? Okay, where you see yourselves, you know, picking up and moving to another location, and
we would be open to that if the opportunity came up. I don't know about.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not. Neither of us are originally from Vancouver. Vancouver's funny that way. Nobody in Vancouver is from Vancouver.
It's very transient.
Yeah. There is that feeling in Los Angeles as well.
Yeah, so
it's
I mean,
West Coast thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, neither of us are fixed there. That's just happened to be where we live now.
We've even debated, you know, I mean, border issues aside, we've even debated moving down here, moving to Toronto, which has a better music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And our family's actually originally from there as well, so that makes it easier.
Do you think a lot of the bands in Vancouver sort of have a half-life in terms of like their ability to get everything they can out of that town before they have to go to another place with a bigger scene or something
like
that?
Yeah, well, I think it's like geographically Vancouver's not close to any city in Canada. Like there's those huge mountains kind of in the way, and then after the mountains there's a couple cities, then there's the plains where there's no cities at all for like hundreds of miles.
Thousands.
So. Thousands of miles. Sorry, the kilometers,
yeah.
The metric imperial thing just messes us up.
But yeah, Vancouver's pretty remote that way, and it is hard for bands. With the internet, it's kind of a debate. A lot of people say, you know, just base your, you know, fans in your hometown, sort of go about it that way. But, I mean, you got to tour eventually. Mm-hmm. And when you have to sort of play one city and then drive, you know, 5,000 miles to get to the next one,
yeah.
It kind of makes it really hard to be a touring band in Vancouver, unless you want to again cross the border, and then you've got those issues. So
yeah, sure, it must be true. Yeah, because in Los Angeles you can easily go up to Bakersfield or Fresno or, you know, these other towns that are like, they're not huge towns, but they have, you know, concert halls and they're pit stops on tours.
Exactly. And I mean, we like playing those kind of cities too. Like, I mean, it's all good, it's all fun. So I mean, doing the tour that we're doing now, we can drive up the coast and every couple hours we're in a town that we can play in, which is really cool. So
awesome. Let's do another live song if you guys are up for it.
All right. This is one I'm going to sing. And it's on the CD, but I do it a very different way. And it's a very new, different way. So
all right. Kill Radio exclusive. I love it. Whenever you're ready, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Mojave. Treat
feels obsessive, but I know it's not. Feels obsessive, but I know it's not. I know it's not. No, it's not.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mojave. What do you guys see yourselves most as, a live act or recording artists? Or is it even parts?
I would say even parts.
Is there one that you like more than the other in terms of the process? Do you like having that kinetic energy of a crowd, or do you like being able to lay down that perfect track?
It's a bit of both, because, I mean, for me, I come from an engineering background, so I really love the process of being in the studio. Like, I love it. I look forward to it. Like, when the producer's like, okay, that's good, I got enough takes, I'm like, no, let's do some more. I just can't get enough of the studio. I just love that environment. But again, with live, like, you get that connection with people that, you know, it makes it sort of all worthwhile. It makes all of that, you know, that process worthwhile.
Well, on that subject, what makes for a really great live show? Aside from enough people being there and paying attention, what, as the artist, what, how do you know when you've gotten off the stage that, you know, that was a great show?
It's this unexplainable thing. Like, I can't describe it. You just feel, like, you feel that connection. Like, it's an energy you can't describe.
It's like a drug. Like, sometimes you have a good trip, and sometimes you crash and burn and just want it to be over. So.
When's it going to end?
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, that high is just amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there's nothing else like it. That's why I do it. I like playing live, so...
And what do you want your audience to take away from the experience of seeing a Mojave show? I mean, do you want them to be mostly affected by the meaning of each song, like listening to the words, or is it just more of a general emotion that comes from your music? What do you want them to get out of it?
I think it's just the mood. Like, a lot of our songs have a specific mood, and, I mean, if people connect with that, I mean, the melodies are important and the words are important too, but it's the overall feeling, really.
Well, with live, sometimes it's hard to get, you know, each individual word out. Sometimes it depends on how loud the venue is. But there's nothing better than when somebody comes up to me and they tell me about a specific song that they heard that that meant something to them, you know, made a difference in their life. And that, to me, as a songwriter, it makes it worthwhile for me. I mean, I write all the lyrics, so that's sort of, you know, where I get the most from that experience.
That must be great. I mean, sort of like bringing it full circle, you know, you had the thought, you wrote it down, you made the song, you played it, someone received it and then brought it back to you and said, this is what it meant to me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that must be an amazing feeling.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Let's listen to another track from the CD. What do you recommend?
Let's go with Casa Rosita.
Okay.
You said that like we're taking this big risk. Let's try this one, see what happens.
Sure.
Cool. All right. Throw this on here. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Mojave. And is myspace.com/Mojave. That's the place to go to get all the up-to-date
right,
information.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Stay tuned. And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Mojave, myspace.com/Mojave. We're going to do one more live song and call it a day. What are you going to play for us?
We're going to play a song called Lights Out.
All right. Whenever you're ready. Guys, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
And remind us once again where people in LA can go see you perform live.
We're going to be at the Kibitz Room tomorrow, which is also Cantor's Deli. We'll be playing with Mini Bike.
And myspace.com/Mojave, right?
That's right.
All right, and enjoy the rest of your tour.
Thank
thanks
you.
Again. Take
thanks
care.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org.